Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your newsfeed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat? FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio. This week, Todd is out on the campus of Georgia Tech. He packed his microphone. He headed off to the campus to find students to talk with, and there are a few thousand sharp minds walking all around the campus of Georgia Tech. He's bound to find one who will sit down and have a conversation with him.
I think I smell incense. It must be an Orthodox Christian. See what I did there? You're Kevin, right?
Yes, sir.
Georgia Tech student, you're almost out the door because you got 3 years under your belt. Well done.
Thank you.
You're an Orthodox Christian. I want you to do me a massive favor. I want you to tell me how an Orthodox Christian gets to heaven. Go.
All right.
Now, look at you. Little grabby. Okay.
So an Orthodox Christian, if you're in the faith, we say you get to heaven by, obviously, through works and through faith. So that's, I know that's a big topic with the Protestant church, but we have the seven sacraments, which is like seven mysteries. And if you're in the church, that's what you're supposed to do to get to heaven. So there's like four main important sacraments, which is baptism, confession, communion, and then the Holy Maroon, which is like the seal of the Holy Spirit on you. And then there's sacraments like marriage, and there's two others I'm forgetting, but those are like less important. Like, you don't need them to get to heaven. But this is all if you're in the faith. We don't say like a Protestant is not going to go to heaven. Like, we'll never say that. But we say if you're in the faith, this is what you should do. These are the steps the church has given us to get into heaven. So, and that's what our fathers have been doing since, 2,000 years ago, and that's what we're following.
Okay, I'm so glad you know your stuff. I really am. Okay, but that did get a little confusing for me at the end. What's the benefit then of being in the Orthodox Church if I'm going anyway? Why would I want to put myself underneath all those works to get to heaven when I believe I can go by grace alone?
That's a good point. So we say that the Orthodox Church is the fullness of Christianity, and we think the things that the church has given us the best outlet or the best way to get closest to Christ. So if you like truly love someone, like we all truly love Jesus, we want to find the way to like get closest to him. And we believe that the church has given us these ways to get closer to him through confession, through all these things to strengthen our relationship with Christ. Now, a Protestant Christian, like I'm not God, I'm not the one who judges, and I have no idea how he judges. So he could, a Muslim could go to heaven if he wants, or whoever could go to heaven if he wants. But it's just, this is what we say is the fullness and the way to get closest to Christ.
That's similar to Roman Catholicism. But now you've opened up another can. Do all Orthodox Christians believe that other faiths can go to heaven? In other words, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like Muslims.
No. A faith that doesn't believe that Christ is the Son of God can go to heaven. So I don't know how God judges, and I'm not going to speak for the Orthodox Church in this. This is just more of like just me. But God, we know that God is a just God and he's a fair God. So if someone born you know, as a Muslim in the Middle East that had no access to Christ, are we going to say that he's not going to go to heaven? Or I'm not going to say that he will go to heaven or he won't go to heaven. We don't know. I'm just saying it's not like we're not the one who judges.
Hindus, Buddhists?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to go to heaven or not.
Okay.
But I do think Christ came down and gave us a way to get to heaven, right? Or this is what he told us, as this is what you should do to get to heaven. And he gave us a true religion. But does that mean that, you know, does that mean I know how he judges? No. So I'm just going to follow what I do. Obviously, we say, like, obviously, like, right now, to go to heaven, what we know is, you know, be an Orthodox Christian, follow the seven sacraments, and, you know, live a godly life with faith and works. And then you can, that's the path that we've known. And that's what our fathers have taught us. But does that mean that Christ or Jesus will, or God will judge a different way? Like, maybe, who knows?
All right. So we got two big issues on the table. I want to talk about the first one, and I think that will resolve the second one. The second one is other people making their way to heaven without knowing or believing in Jesus. I think the first issue that we're primarily dealing with here is how one gets to heaven. All right, you're familiar with Protestant Christianity,
sure.
Correct?
Yeah. But really quick,
yeah.
I'm not saying that Muslims will go to heaven. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying Hindus will go to heaven. I'm not saying all that. I'm just saying I don't know how God judges. You know, so me not being God, I'm not going to tell someone that they're not going to go to heaven. I'm just going to tell them this is what I know and this is what we know of how we're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that, you know, because, like, obviously we both agree that you have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior to go to heaven, right? But that's what we know, you know, but we don't know how God judges. So.
Well, I think we do because he says so. And Jesus said, if you don't believe in the Son, you don't have the Father. Nobody comes unto the Father but through me.
But there are exceptions.
I am the way, the truth, the life. Where does it say there are exceptions in the Bible, Kevin?
So, you know, for us, a lot of Protestants will come to us and say, oh, look at the thief on the cross. He didn't get baptized. He didn't do all these things, but he got to heaven, right? So that's an exception. So, you know.
Well, if you're right, it's an exception. Otherwise, it's just an example of God's grace. But what Bible verses indicate that God judges based on a curve as opposed to a straight line?
That verse right there. He told us that you should be baptized and you should do all these things. But someone that lived a sinful life their entire life was able to go to heaven just by God's grace, you know? But this is a very, I mean, for Protestants and Orthodoxy, I feel like this is not like the topic we should be discussing, because like we have other, like this is just like, honestly, this is not even an Orthodox, I don't know if this is an Orthodox stance, this is just more in my opinion, but I would love to talk more about like Orthodoxy versus Protestantism if you would want.
Well, but isn't this kind of the biggest issue there is how somebody attains eternal life? This is the centrality
of our
faith.
Sure. And I'm saying to attain eternal life,
no, I got it. Yeah. You gotta believe and do stuff.
Yes.
Now, what do you do? I'm going to share a Bible verse, and you tell me how you work that into the Orthodox system, okay? It's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Sure.
How does that fit into your work system?
So I would look at Book of John, when John says, you know, faith without works is dead. So I think a lot of Protestants and Orthodox, we're really saying the same thing most of the time, but it just the way we say it, it causes a lot of division. So we're saying, you know, faith plus works needs to be done. Because imagine this, you're getting married, right? So does the marriage end at the altar? At the altar, does it end? Or do you have to continue?
Love that illustration, but I would simply explain it by saying, when you get married to Christ, you're married. Your works don't keep you in the marriage. You're married to Christ, and then you do those kind things with your spouse, to your spouse, because you are married. That's a big difference. Do you hear it?
I do hear it. But I'm also saying, what you would say, I feel most Protestants, when they talk to me, they would say, if you don't have works, then you're never really saved, because your works.
Okay. I'd affirm that.
And
yeah.
that's kind of what we're saying as well, because you love someone so much, you do these works, right? You do all these things. So that's I feel like, you know, we're honestly saying that. But you're saying, I see what you're saying. You're saying, okay, once you become a Christian, you can't leave, right? Is that what you're saying?
Let me put it this way. You see if you agree. All right. when you get married to Christ, when you get saved, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, that gift will then be the impetus for good works. But the good works do not get you saved. You do the good works because you are saved.
Yes, that, we're saying the same thing.
Okay, then you know what I might suggest, Kevin? Then your articulation of it up front, the way that you said it, it's like, believe in Jesus and do good works, then you go to heaven. Would you affirm this? You believe in Jesus, you're assured to heaven, and because of that, you do good works. Would you agree with that?
I think if you truly believe in Jesus, and more than just believe, right? You truly love Jesus and you want a relationship with him, you will do good works. That's what I believe. So it's not, yes, it's like, yeah, you know, you get in the faith and then you do good works, but like both need to be done, right? Like at the end of the day, you can't take one without the other.
I would affirm that. So it sounds like you would affirm that we are saved by grace alone?
No.
That's the difference. But I thought we kind of walked through it. You are saved by Jesus, and that produces works. It doesn't cause salvation.
I see what you're saying, I see what you're saying. We are saved. At the end of the day, there's no amount of works we can do to get us saved. I'm sure you agree with that. But I'm not saying if someone, like, I can just, you know, walk down the street and say, I'm saved, and get baptized and do the whole thing. But then if my works don't show it, am I truly saved, you know? That, and I think we're saying the same thing on that end. But so yes, it's great. It's God's grace that saves us, but it's also, it's a relationship. God doesn't want a one-sided thing. It has to be both sides.
So Kevin, I hate to inform you of this. You might be a Protestant.
I think you might be Orthodox.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it, man.
The nicest version of the gospel is the one that says God is fair, so he surely finds a way for everyone who's tried hard enough. The gospel Paul preached is in Ephesians 2. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. More Witness Wednesday is straight ahead. This is Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match Campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Frill's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. Campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are back here on Wretched Radio. This is Witness Wednesday. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd is out on the campus of Georgia Tech today. He's just looking for someone to stop and talk to him. Let's get out to the campus to see if he found said person.
Fine. I have 80, whatever it's called. We're going to talk about the thing, but I want to talk about the other deal. Dude, you're studying...
Mm-hmm. What? I'm studying industrial engineering.
Industrial engineering. He's smarter than the rest of us average bears. Wyatt, how is AI going to affect your career path?
I think it is something that's going to greatly shift my career path. I think it's something that right now will affect early careers. So if it's basic data analysis, if it's simple processing systems, I think AI has a use there and can take certain positions. But I think right now, people who are more qualified or willing to learn and adapt with it will have greater career opportunities because.
But isn't it going to take jobs away from industrial engineers because it can do so many of the tasks so efficiently?
I would say yes and no. I think it will take certain roles similar to when we had the Industrial Revolution.
Okay, they produced other industries. What will AI produce that will replace the jobs they swiped?
So I think what it's going to do is it's going to allow people to take more meaningful careers, the things that are directly affecting humans more. So when you see there'll be more people most likely in healthcare, there'll be people more involved in construction, in traditional jobs that were considered blue collar, I think that will definitely have an increase in their career. And then I think for the people in careers like mine, which are more of like a white collar career as a mechanical engineer, industrial engineer, computer scientist, they will definitely have a shift. They will be taking more roles that are going to be directly affecting a client compared to doing the back-end data side. I think it's going to definitely destroy part of the market, but I think it gives opportunity to create. And I think just how, like, they didn't know necessarily certain careers that exist today when we went through the medical revolution.
Very true, but historically we can look back and go, but it did. Just like technology, we saw what it created. Bricks and mortar, those were replaced by online, but then you need all the different programmers and the designers.
Exactly.
But I'm just not seeing that yet with AI, so I hope it just doesn't gut everything that you've studied for.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely terrified. I think to not have a feeling of fear or apprehension would be too naive. I think when going through the entire career application field, I was very scared because I saw how my friends who are in computer science are being affected directly. And I think I've seen a couple of them create very positive outcomes with it, where they've been able to use AI to supplement certain parts of their work so they can work more efficiently. I think it's going to be a lot of stuff where we've never seen jobs that exist like this. I think it's going to make more entrepreneurs. I think that's going to be very interesting.
That would be interesting.
Because there's a very popular term called vibe coding, where it's someone who doesn't understand coding background like myself or you, and being able to tell a AI language, hey, I want to make an app. I want to make a new map service. And you don't need to have all that historical background, years of knowledge, and you have the option to create it right then. I think it's weary, but I think there is opportunities and growth.
All right, here's what I wanted to talk to you about. We got Easter coming up.
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
Yes. It is a traditional Christian holiday where it has to do with Jesus passing and then eventually rising on the third day, going to heaven.
Cool. Do you believe that?
I believe it. I think it's something where it's very interesting, where I grew up in the South. I was raised Catholic, and so I know that lifestyle very well and what that means. And then as I've gone to college, I've gotten to experience more people in different religions. I've had opportunities to spend time with Methodists, Baptists, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, and I've gotten to hear their different philosophies. So I think I'm open-minded to alternatives as well.
So what is the significance? What was the point?
To help us with our sins, to basically allow us to be forgiven and give us a chance at, the idea was afterlife and like helping all the people on earth become better humans.
Okay, let me, you're smart guy, so let me drill in a little bit.
Yeah.
It helps us with our sins.
Yes.
What exactly do you mean by that?
So, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is to allow us to be forgiven for our sins. And with the idea with that is that with his sacrifice, he was taking on mortal flesh and blood
God was, and the Holy was sacrificing himself for our sins, so that way we can all be forgiven and go to heaven from purgatory and rise.
Okay, that's really good. Well done. Okay, so do you think you're a sinner?
Yes, I think we all are.
Okay, so have you trusted that resurrection in order to have your sins forgiven?
Yes and no. I trust that it was done, and I trust that it was done to forgive sins, but I think this is the idea of where I've been around other philosophies and other religions, where I've learned that just being a good human, having good morals, realizing when you make a mistake and apologizing on a human to day-to-day basis is how we can be forgiven on our sins on a human level. I think there's a holy aspect where you're being forgiven for your sins in front of the eyes of God. But I think if I was to say something wrong in this moment and say, sorry, I misspoke, I think I'm asking for forgiveness from you as well. And I think that's an important lesson to be learned from.
There's a horizontal mm-hmm. and there's a vertical.
Yeah.
The question though is, okay, let's say instead of, you know, you misspoke, mm-hmm. I lied to you.
Yes.
I punched you in the nose.
Yes.
Okay, so now I've sinned against you, mm-hmm. but I've also sinned against God, agreed?
Correct.
All right. So to have those sins expunged, to be done with those sins, what must I do based on Easter?
On Easter, oh gosh. I believe it will be, I mean, in my mind, it was to go to church, go to confession, talk to your priest or your respective religious figure, talk to them, say, what can I do on a holy aspect? So in my mind, it was, like, traditionally for me, it was to say the glory be. And then oftentimes, if it was something regarding, like, I got into a fight with my sister, that was something I did as a little kid, because you just fight siblings. It was go apologize to them, maybe make them something, buy them a gift, to seek forgiveness from them. Because just as much as that holy aspect matters to a lot of people, your family, your friends, that community matters just as much.
All right. So as you stand here right now, let's say a bolt of lightning strikes you, what's going to happen to Wyatt?
I think that's hard to say. I think in my mind, I will hopefully pass peacefully in this moment, and then I will...
Well, it's lightning, so, you know, probably not so much.
Probably not so peaceful, but I guess be reunited with my loved ones in an afterlife, whatever that means. So getting to see the family who I've lost, my friends who I've lost, and getting to feel connected to those people, whether that be through a holy aspect, through just a... we are all either dead or cremated, buried, just feeling the connectedness in the system again.
Okay. What is your attitude toward justice?
Ooh, I believe we live in a world that's not always fair and just, but I think we have to hope for the best. I think...
Do you like it?
Justice. I like when those who act well get what they deserve. I think
what about those who act poorly?
I think it's very hard to say what is the right thing to happen to someone who made a poor decision. I think there's some decisions that are very minute where it's this person sped in their car. They hit a pole backing up. I don't think they deserve a divine retribution. In the same mind, I think sometimes justice, I do not deserve to dish it out. I think it should be a degree of holiness and a degree of law around us. So if the police say, hey, you've committed a crime, you should be arrested, I think the right thing should occur in that moment. I think they should have a rights process, though, and then go through that whole legal system.
Let's do a thought experiment.
Okay.
But let's take a trip to heaven.
Okay.
It's a courtroom.
Yeah.
And sitting up on that really big bench is God himself.
Wow.
There are no lawyers because he doesn't need them because he knows everything that we do on this planet.
Yeah.
That includes our thought life.
Yeah.
Everything we do in the dark, everything we do in the light, he knows everything. So there's a book and it's got the name Wyatt, mm-hmm. Industrial Engineer.
Yeah.
He opens it up and he peruses all of the times that you've broken his laws. Mm-hmm. So what are his laws? Well, always being truthful.
Yeah.
Have you always been truthful?
I think I've definitely lied at some point in my life.
Thank you for telling me the truth. All right. Have you ever dishonored your parents?
Oh, yeah. I drew on the walls when I was a kid.
And you were mean to your sister?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes. I would say I have. Mm-hmm. I think I've definitely scraped my knee and gosh mm-hmm. darn it.
Have you stolen anything?
Yes. I stole a piece of candy as a kid once.
Okay.
I felt bad.
The value? Just irrelevant.
Yeah.
You took something.
Yes.
All right. This one's going to be a little bit more introspective, and you don't even have to answer it if you don't want to. Okay. But we probably all know the answer. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust in your heart?
Yes.
Okay. Just took you through five laws.
Yeah.
Just five. All right. Because God's standard is purity in thought, word, and deed.
Yes.
All right. So any unkind word, if you've ever had any racist thoughts, any sexist thoughts, any, record it. So there's the book of Wyatt.
Yep.
God is just, he's holy, he's righteous, and he won't turn a blind eye to justice.
Correct.
No cold cases, no unsolved mysteries. God is going to render a verdict on Wyatt.
The courtroom is set. God is on the bench. The book of Wyatt sits open on the desk in front of him, and Wyatt has already admitted to breaking 5 of the 10 commandments. The verdict is about to come down, but a holy God cannot overlook sin. It's about to render judgment on a sinner, and the sinner's name is Wyatt. We are going to find out what comes down next. More Witness Wednesday, right after this on Wretched Radio. And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Over in the United Kingdom, Parliament has just voted to decriminalize abortion right up to the moment of birth. Under the new crime and policing bill, a woman who ends her own pregnancy at 39 weeks faces no criminal penalty at all. The bill also grants automatic pardons to women previously convicted and wipes their record clean. Labor MP Tanya Antoniazzi, I hope I said that right, who pushed for the measure, has publicly said she is comfortable with women ending her child's life at 37 weeks, well past viability. And meanwhile, back here at home, a new Pew report shows where America's moral needle has landed. 52% now say abortion is not morally wrong. 60% feel the same about homosexuality, while 63% are fine with doctor-assisted suicide. And more Americans say it's morally wrong to be extremely rich than use IVF. The broader culture is drifting fast. There is good news, however. The South Carolina House just passed the Pregnancy Care Tax Credit Act. A mouthful, 95-0. Donors to pregnancy resource centers and maternity homes can now claim dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Representative Stephen Long says it is simply about helping families to get started in a tough economy. And for perspective, South Carolina's heartbeat law led to a 63% drop in abortions in 2024. Laws do matter, although some feel like they don't. In Washington, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy is overhauling the panel that decides which preventative services insurers must cover under Obamacare. Kennedy calls the task force lackadaisical and negligent. Under Biden, the panel built a formal health equity framework around race, gender, and social risk factors. New members are on the way. In Sweden, it appears they may be waking up. After years of handing tablets to kindergartners, Swedish schools are now going back to the books, to paper, to pens. Nearly a quarter of 15-year-olds there can't read at a basic level. Next door in Norway, reading scores collapsed after every 5-year-old was given an iPad. Now 500,000 Norwegians can't read basic text. Turns out screens don't teach children. Books do. Back in South Carolina, a Southern Baptist church is hosting a class on gracism. Yeah, they heard that one right. Graduates have to commit to choosing, understanding, and pursuing diversity. It's a corporate DEI seminar with a Bible sticker on it is what it is. All of this mess started and kind of ended in 2020. Somebody should tell the pastor. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at fortisinstitute.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd, of course, is still out on the campus of Georgia Tech this week. He is with Wyatt. The rap sheet is open. The cross is on the table. And now comes the part where it either breaks through or it doesn't.
What is that verdict going to be? Innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
Wait a second. Yes. I got the rap sheet. You just admitted to me.
Yes.
You'd be guilty.
I think I have been guilty, and then I think I have asked for forgiveness. And I know I'm guilty, but I know what I've done wrong. And I've done everything in my power while I've been alive to try and fix those mistakes. I've taken the time to come to terms with it and hopefully not make it again.
Let me bring you back down from heaven for a moment and put you in a human. Yep. You've broken the laws. You're guilty.
Yep.
But you say, but Judge, I just want you to know, I've been introspective.
I don't think...
I've tried to make things right. What's that judge going to say to Wyatt?
I think introspection's not enough. But I think on the same terms, I've seen instances where someone who has done wrong, say they robbed a convenience store because they did not have any money and they had to steal diapers to put them on their kid. And they realized that was wrong, and a month later, they went back and put the money back. And I think there's certain times when people make mistakes, and forgiveness is key.
Those are some exceptions that we could debate.
Yeah.
But if we've got a long rap sheet, then we're guilty, right?
I think you're guilty.
This is what Easter is about. When we understand that we really are criminals, that we really have rebelled against God, and that we haven't been as up to par as we should be, we're all guilty criminals. Now let's talk about Easter.
Okay.
All right? What did Jesus do on that cross so that you could have your rap sheet torn up?
He died for our sins.
There you go. All right, now the question is, if that's available to you, you can have all of your sins forgiven, and you could be in a right relationship with God, not estranged, not at war with God, not an enemy of God, but a friend of God because of Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say you must do to access that mercy?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't think I know the direct answer for that. I think I have an idea, which was that by being, I mean, in the eyes of traditional, where it's be a good Christian and, like, treat thy neighbor well, do things in that.
Okay, that's law.
Yeah.
That's bad news, because I don't treat my neighbor the way I'm supposed to. So again, what I need is forgiveness for not doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
How do I get brought into a relationship with God whereby He forgives my sins because of what Jesus did to pay for them?
I think in my mind, in the way I think it's the idea of taking time to let God into your heart.
Okay, so good works don't bribe the judge.
No.
I need to have my crimes paid for. That's what Jesus did. Now the question is, it's available, but not everybody gets it. I'm gonna give you one more shot at it. What is the response of an individual who just discovered that God Himself died for Wyatt, so Wyatt doesn't have to?
Well, if I found out someone died for me, I think the first thing you gotta do is say thank you. I think this is the idea over that Roman Catholicism and those traditional ideas that I've been raised in, where I've thought someone died for me.
We should say thank you. But God wants more than that.
He does.
Okay, now, what God wants, what does God want regarding you, Wyatt?
I think God wants the best for all of us, I think.
God wants what's best for us.
Yes.
He wants something far more. Most people never really understand this about Christianity, and it's a shame.
Okay.
Because it's the best part. Here's what God wants regarding Wyatt. He wants Wyatt. He wants your heart. He wants you to love Him, be loved by Him, and be in a relationship with Him. That's what God desires.
Okay.
He wants to forgive you so that dying for your sins, that's a really big deal. Because He didn't just die for your sins so you don't go to hell.
Yeah.
No. He died for your sins so that you could be ushered into a familial relationship with God. In other words, He could be your father, you can be His son, and you can live a life that is filled with eternal purpose and meaning because you're in a right relationship with God. He wants to have a relationship with a guy like Wyatt, and He sent His son to provide the means for that. That's massive.
It is.
Okay, that's huge. So now the offer is, Wyatt can be in a right relationship with God, adopted into his family. You stand before the judgment seat, and you don't have a rap sheet because you've been given the resume of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're brought into heaven, and while you're here, you can still be in a right relationship with your God. Your thinking gets straightened out.
Yeah.
You understand reality better, and life is filled with meaning.
Okay.
So the terms of the deal are these. God says you got to repent and believe in his only son.
Yeah.
Okay, what does the word repent mean?
I think that has many definitions. I think, in my mind, I think a lot of it is based in the works. I think it is the idea of, whether that be kneeling down, asking for forgiveness, whether that be going to church, if that's the right thing for you, if that's spending time with those who you love and desire, that spending time with God.
Let me capture it this way. Instead of doing bad things, you do the things you're supposed to do. It does begin with forgiveness, saying you're sorry, turning from your sins, apologizing for your sins, asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's repentance. But it's not just, okay, I'm going to say these things and do these things. He wants repentance of the whole man.
Yes.
So all of you, your mind, your will, your volition, everything. He wants it.
Yeah.
He wants you to say, I have been totally wrong. You're right. I'm going for you. I'm leaving that behind. That's repentance.
Yeah.
Okay. And faith.
Yes.
Repentance and faith, where you trust Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And you get everything because you get God. All right. What I'm telling you is true. I have just presented to you the greatest offer you'll ever have in your entire life. Have you accessed that forgiveness to be in a right relationship with God? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ?
I would say many times. I think I've repented, and then as a human, I've sinned again, and then I've repented again and improved upon myself multiple times over.
Okay, I want to drill this into you a little bit. It's good that you desire to fix yourself. That's right. But what Christianity says, the problem with it is we're really broken. We're just really shattered.
We are.
We're really sinful. He'll fix you.
Yeah.
And he does all of that work because he gets all of the credit for that.
Yes.
Here's what Jesus said. Unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. Big deal. If a man isn't born again, are you born again?
Ooh. I think that's hard to know. I think it's hard to know when you have been, you've achieved that level of, I guess, connected with Jesus is maybe the best way to say it, where you have done the right thing and you have achieved that.
What does it imply? That we're dead?
Yeah.
Right? Okay,
yeah.
So you must be talking about a spiritual death.
Yes.
Here's what the Bible says, that you and I are dead in our trespasses and sins. God must make us alive. You die to self. In other words, you come to the point where it's like, and I need a Savior, and you turn from your sins to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It is a life-changing affair because then you know that you're going to go to heaven. This is your trajectory of eternity being changed.
Yeah.
You know when that happens. Okay. And to wait for your deathbed for that is to miss the point of Christianity. The point of Christianity isn't just you can know God. You can know the God who loved you enough to die for you.
Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine a greater love than that because you weren't loving him when he died for you, right?
No.
Neither was I. Why wouldn't you want to access that relationship with God by surrendering yourself? You do good works because he's forgiven you. You don't do good works to be forgiven. Do you hear the difference? Big difference.
Yes.
If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And because of that, you're like, I want to do good works. Not to earn heaven, but because heaven has been earned.
Yeah.
So what I would encourage you to do today, you're a smart guy. Could I challenge you to really earnestly think about your soul today? We're talking about your eternity here.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see you in heaven. I would.
Yeah.
So would you at least ponder today becoming born again?
I think I think I spend every day pondering my soul in eternity. I think that's the important thing. I think that's where that whole idea of repenting comes from. I think, yes, I will spend today thinking, and I hope to spend the rest of my days thinking.
Yeah. Well, if you get a chance, grab a Bible on your phone, wherever. Read Ephesians 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
If an offer you shouldn't, this is the best offer, because in the offer, you get the best thing, and that is God himself.
Thank you.
Dude.
Have a good one.
You've been a gentleman. Sure do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, Wyatt is a gentleman. He is still thinking, however, and that's every one of us at some point in our lives, isn't it? We're standing in the sun. We got an offer in our hands and have no idea what to do with it. The invitation was given to Wyatt, Ephesians 1 through 3. Let us all pray together that he opens it. Todd is still on the campus of Georgia Tech, and we are going to continue because there is more Witness Wednesday straight ahead. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem, because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought. It's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at FortisInstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man. Here's a question. Do you think like a Christian, or do you just believe like one? See, a lot of evangelicals have accidentally split their brain in two. Faith goes in one box. Logic, science, politics, morality, well, that all goes in another. And then we wonder why Christians sound just like everyone else when we talk about economics, education, or anything outside of Sunday morning. Wretched worldview endeavors to fix that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand tackle 22 real-world issues through a biblical lens. Capitalism versus socialism, women in the military, global warming, eugenics, guns, stay-at-home moms, and then they show you what it actually looks like to think Christianly about all of it. And here's the best part. It's not just 22 answers. It's a framework. By the end, you'll have tools to build a biblical worldview on any issue that comes your way. Wretched Worldview. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is the ability to discern between true and false spirits. Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and many false teachers present their lies as God's truth. But God has given us his truth, and he has equipped us to tell true from false in accordance with his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. This is the final stretch. Todd's still out on the campus of Georgia Tech, and there has been another student that has stopped by and said they would give him a few minutes. So let's head out to the campus now.
All right. So, Peter, you're in the Bible Belt. Did you grow up in church?
No.
No? What?
Well, me and my family went, like, occasionally, but not, like, a serious thing.
All right. And where did you go?
It's called the First Presbyterian Church.
Okay, cool. Let me take you back to, I think they call it catechism. Have you ever heard that term?
Catechism?
Yeah.
No. I went to some like camps or stuff, but nothing like serious like that.
Okay. So would you call yourself a Christian or not?
Yeah, but I don't really like think about it a lot.
Okay.
But I would say that.
Okay, cool. What is that? Why are you a Christian?
I guess it's just like what I was like, you know, told to believe. I do believe in God. I just don't think about it a lot, you know?
Okay, all right. So you believe in God, the God of the Bible?
Yeah.
All right. And why do you believe that?
I guess like, I mean like someone like had to like create the world or something.
I agree with that. Yeah. Just evolution seems just too preposterous to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a creator. Yeah. What do you think the creator is like?
I'm not sure. I guess we'll see, you know, when they die.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think's going to happen to you when you die?
I'm not sure. But, you know, like, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. Let's take a trip to heaven.
Yeah.
Let's imagine. In order to get there, I'm afraid you have to die. So we're going to imagine for a second. Peter has reached the end of his life. Hopefully it's when you're old. But nevertheless, you die. And you suddenly are in the presence of God. And it turns out he's a judge. He's a righteous, holy, perfect judge who really doesn't like criminal activity and gives everybody what they've deserved to the T because their crimes have been committed against him. There you stand, Peter. Imagine that. You got the picture in your mind? Do you know what name it says?
Probably Peter.
Peter's book. And he opens it up, and it's everything that Peter has ever said or done that is against his rules and laws. Like lying. How long of a list do you think he'd have for Peter's lies?
I mean, probably pretty long, but, like, I guess, like, I mean, doing something wrong can be, like, either like not that big of a deal or like really serious.
Yeah.
So I think there'd be a lot of things that are like not that big of a deal.
Well, I would agree with you that there are some things that are bigger deals than others. If I tell a lie to one of my children, do you know what's going to happen to me? I do. Nothing.
Yeah.
If I tell a lie to my wife, what's going to happen to me?
I mean, maybe a little worse.
It's going to be you're right. It's going to be a little worse. What if I lie to my boss? What could he do to me?
I mean, he could fire you.
Okay. What if I lie to the government?
And they could, like, arrest you. Like,
all I did is tell a lie, all right? So I told a lie to each one of these entities, but the punishment increased. What changed in the scenario? I committed the same crime, different punishment. Why? Well, the point of that scenario is it's the one against whom I've committed the crime.
Oh, yeah.
All right? So it probably even true with something really heinous. So if I punched you in the nose, I'm probably going to get into some trouble.
Yeah.
If I punched the president in the nose, yeah, I'm going to get in. Okay, it's the one against whom we've committed the crime. So
yeah. You're
right. There are degrees of what we'll call sins, but it's the one against whom we've committed the sins. That's the problem. So little white lies aren't little to a holy, righteous God who's perfect and just. We might see them as little boo-boos. He doesn't. All right. We just took a look at one line in your book, lying. What about honoring your father and mother? How did you do in that regard?
I mean, not perfect, but like, I mean, like, not horrible.
I know, dude. I was a kid too.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. All right, stealing. Have you stolen anything?
Not recently, but probably as a kid.
Fair enough. All right, this one gets a little bit more personal. Have you ever looked at a woman with lustful fantasies?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't like try to, but.
All right. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? OMG, let his name fly when you're mad.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to, but yeah.
Right. Fair enough. Okay, yeah. You try, but nevertheless, so Peter, basically you're like the rest of us. You got a criminal rap sheet. The book is full of crimes we've committed against God. All right. So he's perfect, he's holy, he's just. He doesn't overlook any crimes. He doesn't let boys just get away with things because that would make him unjust. And he's not going to be bribed. You're a guilty criminal in the courtroom of God. It's time for him to slam the gavel and sentence you. What's he gonna say? Heaven or hell?
I mean, it'd be kind of sad if he was that, like, strict. But I guess for me, probably, you know, it depends on how strict he is. Like, I would hope, like, heaven, but I wouldn't be, like, too surprised if he said hell if he was, like, very strict.
Yeah. Well, he is, it's not all he is, but he is very strict, and that's very good. Because a judge who just kind of lets it go, especially if the crime was committed against you, you'd be like, hey, what are you doing letting the guy slide? He took my backpack. I want justice. Well, that's how God is. He wants justice. So now we've had a little peek into eternity, that Peter's destination forever might not be very good. Let's keep going. There's more to God than being a strict judge. He's loving, and he's merciful, and he's kind, and he's good, and he desires to forgive sinners. Imagine that. Even though we sin against him, everything we do isn't just a sin against people here. It's a sin against God, and he wants to forgive those sinners. But here's a tension that exists in that. God must punish sinners. He desires to forgive sinners, but if he just lets the sinners go, then he's no longer just, and that would violate his character, so he can't do that. So we need something to break the tension so that God can actually dismiss the court case of guilty criminals. What did God do to break that tension? What did God do so that your sins could be totally forgiven?
I mean, I guess he sent down, like, Jesus.
Yeah, you're doing good. Well, here's exactly what he did. First of all, he never broke those laws, so he never committed those sins. So he was perfectly righteous. He's just loaded with righteousness. But then he marched. He didn't go get dragged kicking and screaming. He went to a cross, and this is what, you remember the Easter story? Remember what happened? Do you know what a cat of nine tails is? Have you ever heard that term?
Nah.
Basically, it's a whip, but it's a little bit more sophisticated in its cruelty. It's leather straps, and woven inside of those leather straps, a number of straps with a handle on the end, they would weave in pottery or nails. And that's what you'd get whipped with a cat of nine tails. It turned your back to shreds. It would just rip your skin apart. Jesus was whipped like that. He was beaten, punched in the face, so dismarred that you couldn't even tell he was a human being. Spat upon, mocked, stripped naked. And then he went to a cross where he hung in the air and suffocated to death. Now that wasn't just an act of cruelty on the part of the Romans. There was something else going on here. That was God ordaining the death of his son as a punishment for criminals, for the crimes we commit. Jesus was taking the wrath that you and I deserve, because God should pour out his wrath on us, but Jesus consumed that wrath on our behalf so that he can forgive us and still be just. So he can be just and the justifier of everybody who believes in Jesus. That's the good news of Christianity, that you can go to heaven not on your merits, but because Jesus died for you while you were yet sinning. That's called the gospel, Peter. Jesus Christ died for sinners, and you can have your court case dismissed forever, and you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt when you die, you're going to heaven because of Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. He didn't just die to forgive you of your sins. He died because he'd like something from you, Peter. God, the creator of the universe that we agreed exists, he actually desires something about you. Do you know what it is that God wants from Peter?
No, I don't know.
He wants you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. So he died to forgive you so that you can be adopted by him and you can know him forever. Dude, that's the best offer you're going to get ever. So he's willing to forgive you and adopt you. If you put your trust, repent and trust in Jesus Christ, you're his and he is yours. Fair enough?
Yeah, that's it.
A God wants you. That's the line Todd put in front of Peter on the campus of Georgia Tech, and it is the same line the gospel has put in front of every human being who's ever drawn a breath. A holy God who should strike sinners dead, love them enough to die for them instead. Three students heard that offer today on the campus of Georgia Tech, and that offer is still open for whoever happens to be listening right now. Pray for each and every one of those young men Todd talked to today. That's going to do it for us this week. We will be back next week on the campus of Georgia Tech, and we will be back here tomorrow for more Wretched Radio. Until then, tomorrow that is, go serve your King.